morning. Today is Friday, December the 28th. Joining us this morning, final Friday of the year.
Yes, indeed. That's right.
You're sounding much more chipper this month than last.
I can fake it better this month.
Oh, I see. The meds have kicked in.
The meds have kicked in. Yeah.
Too much fun. So you've got our why do we say that?
Yeah, we do. Why do we use the exclamation fiddlesticks? In the eyes of the serious-minded, to fiddle is to waste time, as in fiddling around. The fiddle is therefore a worthless object, since the bow, or fiddlestick, is even less important to fiddling than the fiddle itself. Fiddlesticks means of no worth whatsoever. Fiddlesticks.
There you go. Maybe that's why Grandpa used to use it. He was a concert vine.
Here's another one. You want another one? In your city, and at the appropriate time, a fifth column behind your own lines will arise to the attack. Whatever that means. A fifth column.
I was thinking more as like portico or a Greek.
I thought fifth column was...
And the fifth was like extraneous. You know, you got corner.
Yeah.
It was the linchpin in the middle.
I always thought fifth column was the press.
No, that's the fifth estate.
Fifth estate?
Fourth estate.
Fourth?
Yeah.
So I'm not worthless.
Apparently.
I'm a fiddlesticks this morning.
Then. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, boy. How do you deal with tension? You know, we're coming up to New Year's resolutions, and people have that. We have New Year's. You sleep it off. like a drunk, huh?
Yeah. Tension.
Yeah.
Some tension, you can see it coming, and some you cannot. So, if you plan for the tensions that you can plan for, then you can plan to deal with it when it arrives. For example, a lot of people experience road rage when they're slowed down in traffic, or if they have to stop, slow down, say, on the highway with an accident scene. There's a truck jackknifed in the highway. Well, if you got a truck jackknife blocking both lanes and you're stuck, you're not going to back up if you got traffic behind you. So you're going to wait for the wrecker to come and move the offending instrument off of the highway. Well, you can whine and snivel and mule and puke and swear and carry on and gnash your teeth and pull your hair out, or you can turn the engine off and read a book. I'm assuming that everybody carries books with them.
Or listen to the radio.
Or meditate.
So very, very comparable to what the storms are dealing with a good percentage of our country today and this weekend. I mean, there's not a lot you can do.
So that is something you can plan for. That's one of the reasons I carry books, a book in the car to read. And if I'm taking Lucy on an errand, then I can park and she can go in. I drive Lucy around, and she doesn't have to park and go back and forth and back and forth. And so I take my book out, and I read some. Now, that's stuff you can plan for, and that's fine. The things you cannot plan for, sometimes it's weather. Sometimes it's an email announcement of somebody's death that was near and dear to you. And so then you have grief associated with that. And that may involve some tension as well. But that can be planned ahead for some. I mean, when you got a broken heart, you got a broken heart. And so you need time for that to heal. So honoring, for example, the dead person is useful in relieving the stress and the tension that involves their death. You can do that by writing them. You're not going to mail it, of course. But you can write a letter to them about how you miss them and what they meant to you. And you can write it down and then set it aside and read it again later to reinforce that. And that helps relieve the internal stress inside your heart about missing them. Then there's the stress of the daily stress of things like raising children or going to a job you don't like. If you're going to a job you don't like, then you can reduce the stress and the tension of that by either planning how to get a different job or learning how to find something in the job you don't like that is rewarding enough so that you can go to it without falling apart, breaking your heart, breaking your head. So I keep looking for ways to reduce. Now, I say reduce. Some things you can eliminate, some things you cannot. So you eliminate the things that you can, and then you reduce the things that you cannot by figuring out the workarounds, the attitude. Some people's attitude is what gets them into trouble. Attitudes, I'm a therapist, and so I know that attitudes are the hardest thing to change because attitudes are integrated in people's personality. It's attitudes have a value system. They have procedures that they follow and the feelings associated with that. So attitude is the hardest thing to change out of hand as opposed to a simple thing like a behavior or a feeling or a thought.
Or perhaps a simpler thing.
Yeah, yeah. So attitudes are difficult to deal with. Not impossible. I mean, certainly you can work with them. But you have to have a plan of some sort. So, write it down. Write a list of all the conflicts you have. And then look at them one by one and do some cherry picking. Pick out the easiest one to change first. And then look at what your attitudes are about that. Feelings, thoughts, values.
Your attitudes about your attitudes?
Yeah, I'm right.
All right, we'll work on that one. KINS, News and Information, time is 8:00.
We know you love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Del Norte counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Del Norte and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
KINS, News and Information, time's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Simple Country Therapist Lou Quimby.
Oh, bless your heart.
It's interesting. You said that attitude is associated with personality or integrated.
It's an integrated part. It has a value component, a procedural component, and a feeling component. And it's like potato chips. I bet you can't eat just one. Attitudes, you can't just sit down and go, well, I'm going to get rid of that. It requires a little more planning for that because it creeps up, creeps up, creeps up. For example, road rage, for example. If and there's big road rage and there's little road rage. Some people, blood pressures go up when they have to wait. Like I mentioned before, at the scene of an accident. And there's really no need for that. If you're late for an appointment and you come across an accident, you're going to be late, period. And if you can't call them, then there you are. So you can sit in the car at the accident point and fantasize all the bad things that are going to happen because you missed your appointment. Or you can let it go and be here now, which is
that's almost a developed skill, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Not to ignore the future.
That comes, be here now, comes from the 60s, and it's going to come back again. But be here now means everywhere I go, there I am. And do I make things nice for me? No. No, I fuss and fume and carry on, and I have high blood pressure. So high blood pressure is, depending on who you are, is genetic, so you can take medicine for it. Or you can stop fussing and fuming about things you cannot control.
I suppose the controlling of your emotional state is another learned skill.
It is indeed.
You see some of these folks, and it was interesting yesterday, driving around a little bit, and there was a comment made by one of the talk show guys that it doesn't matter who the president is that you were standing next to, that there is something about them. They use Bill Clinton, and I know he has been referenced by an awful lot of people, whether you like his politics or his ethics or his morals or any of that kind of stuff, that there is something there, whatever it is, and it is kind of awe-inspiring. You know, he has the it, whatever it is, with personality, with behaviors. Just interesting how some of these things interweave into one's personality.
You don't get to the top by accident. That's for sure.
And that was kind of the comment. You know, for millions of people to think that they want to have you as a leader, regardless of anything like details. There's something. There is that something.
How
you connect with you people. Bet. And I would suspect that that's a lot of attitudes and behaviors.
Indeed, it is.
How people will connect.
And it's practiced, and it's tutored, and it's evaluated, and
so it is a learned,
fine-tuned.
It's a learned skill.
Oh yeah, about getting along with people. Yeah, you bet. People got three lives: a public life, a private life, and a secret life. And the public life is the skills they've learned to deal with the public, of course. And the private life is how they get along behind closed doors. And the secret life can either get them into trouble or not. But a secret life at high levels of power can get people into serious trouble.
So that you're not referencing behind the closed door meetings kinds of things
No.
when you say secret.
No, so when it's a secret, it's what people have in their head, their heart, and their gut. They don't talk about much, but frequently drives their behavior. Sex, for example, the presidential sex. I read, and I haven't found many presidents who don't have a sexual manipulative problem. Truman was one. He didn't fool around. I think Garfield is another one who didn't fool around. But the ones who didn't fool around aren't particularly noted for making upheavals. But the ones that fool around, Kennedy, Kennedy and we just mentioned Kennedy and LBJ and
Clinton
and Trump. I mean, you look at the sexual peccadilloes that they have, their attitudes about things, and it's a wonder they got away with what they did. But it has to do with power and persuasion and intimidation. Intimidation always helps because you have a huge, powerful person, and they can intimidate with power. And all those presidents, of course, have Secret Service around them like a ring of protection. And they're their sidemen. What do they call them? Wingmen. They are their wingmen. LBJ had a notification procedure installed. And if his bride was going to be around, then they would ring him up. And he'd get rid of whomever he was entertaining, which is kind of standard practice for everything.
In that kind of setting.
In that kind of setting, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, okay. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8.
What do we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the decade a difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Simple Country Therapist and recovering smoker, Lou Quimby.
Oh.
Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Ag Credit, Humboldt Pest, Termite and Pest
yes.
Control, and Murphy's Market. Lou, the concept of this development of personalities, folks that have been, let's say, high levels of political power. Okay, a lot of them are groomed for that.
You bet.
You know, familial, had early aspirations, did everything the right way as the making the goal, not necessarily because that's what they want to do.
Right.
Contrasted with, let's say, the kid who's a singer and all of a sudden gets discovered, boom, and they go from nothing to everything.
Yeah.
In 8 months, 9 months, or the athlete who goes to a Division II school, and then somebody finds him and they sign him, you know, a signing bonus of a $4 or $5 million to play baseball. You know, those types of things, the sudden surprise. It's not that the talent hasn't been there, but the recognition all of a sudden pops. How does that run in parallel to what we were talking about, where there's been a lifetime of grooming?
Well, lifetime of grooming involves older people grooming the younger person. And, you know, currency. Let's look at currencies for a moment. Currency is the medium of exchange, like money. In relationships, psychologically speaking, I know 14 currencies that people exchange. So kids look at how grown-ups deal with the big five, the five primary currencies: sex, power, money, words, and feelings. Well, if all of a sudden you get really popular real quick, you go from a garage band to a superstar, there's the money. And the money can go to people's head. It's like winning the lottery. You bet two Ferraris and a big house, and a five-car garage. Money. And then there's power. When you have that kind of success, then you have power. Now you got the power of persuasion, which is what you do with your music, for example. And then the people that manage you, you don't get to be that big without being managed. They tell you what to do and tell you how to do it. People that manage you are dealing with power, words, and feelings. So now they have a hold because you want the money or you like the power and the fame. So you'll be trading off your skill for money and fame, for example. And then the handlers get their own share of the money and behind the scenes and whatnot. Then there's always drugs and sex if you're a big music hound involved in that. And if you're trained as a child to be responsible about sex, power, money, words, and feelings, then you're going to work with your business managers and your handlers about how to deal with the presentations, the concerts, the venues, the travel. So your childhood, if you have a stable childhood, can save you, basically, because there's nothing wrong with fame and power. But sometimes it's used very badly.
The abuse, yeah. Well, there was a kid, I think he signed, was it earlier this week? I think it was earlier this week, signed out of Florida State for a pitching contract with the Mets.
Yeah.
I believe it was the Mets. And his Christmas, his gift to his folks, who had, you know, one of those gone to all the games, sacrifice.
Oh, yeah. Your mom, your dad, I love you.
Paid off all their debt. With a signing bonus, $4 million signing bonus.
Oh, good.
He took in, and I guess it's on the social media stuff. And mom just kind of locks up, doesn't
know. Oh, good
go.
For him.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, it's cool.
It's the right
it's
thing
neat.
To do.
It's kind of intriguing. My immediate was, I wonder how many others do similar.
You hear
about buying mom a home.
Yeah,
I mean, with some of these
Elvis
young folks, and it's really kind of. cool, but yeah. I think it stands out because it's the exception rather than the rule.
Correct, yeah. That's one of the problems of what their childhood training is, and then what happens with the power and the money and the sex and the drugs and the rock and roll. And it's a very heady environment. It can go south very quickly.
So we're seeing now with a number of the celebrities, either the entertainment industry, the music industry, or in the athletic community, multiple generations. Son of blank is now playing ball.
Yeah.
So they were grown up in that culture.
In that atmosphere, yeah.
Do they tend to be more?
Look at Will Smith, the actor.
Yeah.
His kid. There's lots of actors and actresses that have children who grow up and get into the industry.
In that environment. Do they tend to be better adjusted, or do they tend to really feel privileged and that my privilege is my norm?
It depends on the kid. A lot.
So we'll save royalty for after the break. KINS, News and Information Time. Hey, what are you throwing this thing over? You're way too early, man. Let's talk royalty.
Oh, okay.
We got an early commercial cue here.
Oh, okay.
So he's a little anxious to, well, he is kind of dancing, so maybe he needs to leave the room. Perhaps not. You're not going to throw that mic open, are you?
Oh, I am.
Oh, there he is. Okay, yes. What about royals? You know, we get an awful lot of attention now with the marriages of Andrew and, you know, the kids.
That's loosening up.
Yeah, things are changing
very quickly,
significantly. It's intriguing for me to see if that's going to dilute what a royal is and what people expect, or if it's more going to be along the lines of Princess Diana, where the sympathies are going to be with the non-royal of the couple.
Exactly.
And the kids.
Yeah, and who gets divorced. That's divorce is interesting for the royals. I don't remember the last time anybody got a divorce. I remember when Duke of Windsor split off and said, no, I won't be king. I want to marry this woman.
Right.
So the breaks with royal rules, royal traditions, are not necessarily that common. But in the last 20 years, there's been a lot of erosion and a lot of compromising. The Queen has had to make a go of some things that she didn't particularly like, because the young people are going, no, we're going this way. And there it is. So the Queen's reign stabilized between the Queen and Winston Churchill. This is what kept England alive. Well, the Queen, Winston Churchill, and Roosevelt kept England alive, which is an interesting threesome. But the royals have their own problem, because they have some isolation. So it's hard for the kids, unless they, well, of course they go to college, and then they find.
But even then, they're really not.
They're still
part of the crowd often.
And how they find people is interesting.
Is the English monarchy different from some of the other monarchies that exist?
Well, it's interesting that
it's the one we focus on.
Yeah, we hear a lot about that. We don't do a lot about France or Germany,
Norway, Sweden.
Yeah. Swedish king during the war had to, if I remember right, had to live in exile for a while. The power of the monarchy in Europe after World War I is slowly eroded, and politics are becoming more elected officials rather than monarchy and hereditary positions. And hereditary positions are nice, because if they're hereditary and they've been that way for decades or lifetimes, generations, You don't have to think too much about what to do. Everybody tells you on the inside. You grow up that way. People telling you how you could, should, would, talk, act, think, behave in public, behave in private.
More inertia.
Yeah. So people like Clinton would have a hard time with that because he doesn't like being told what to do.
Well, I would think a lot of the independent-minded types
have
a tough time following order. KINS, News and Information Time, 8:43.
Humboldt County, the folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:46. Back to Talk Shop this morning with Lou Quimby.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, yes. Or it flies.
Yes.
When it flies, yes.
Time flies.
When it flies. What?
Like an arrow.
That's
fruit flies like a banana.
Yeah. You know, even though I know what you're going to say, I still find great humor with that one.
Oh, the oldies. The oldies are the goodies.
Oh. One of the things that I have found intriguing, and it's just a little bit of an insight into the athletic community, but I would imagine that the entertainment community is very, very comparable, is that when these folks sign, their agents, managers, whatever you want to call them, do not bring in financial advisors.
You mean the young person?
Yeah. Somebody to, you know, protect the gold, so to speak, so that whatever I'm doing out there, or whether it's fleeting fame, or, you know, I blow out a knee in 6 months.
Let's say he comes from a family of four kids, a mom and dad, and mom is a homemaker and active in the PTA, in the community, and dad is a carpenter, cabinet maker, first class cabinet maker. Now, we're talking a middle class family here, and how are they going to prepare a kid when he's six? He goes, "Well, son, you got a good arm there, and you're a good pitcher. So someday, when you're rich and when you're signed on to the national leagues, you're going to need to make some decisions about money. So let's talk about 6 years old. Let's talk about money here, and et cetera, et cetera."
Right.
Well, what you do, you don't do that. You provide a kid with allowance, and you give him the rules about money. You spend some, save some, and give some away. So the kid learns to get his allowance and parcel it out and do all that sort of thing. And then he learns that early so that the concepts stay with him. The Rockefeller kids were given their allowance as a child, and they had to save some, spend some, give some away. So when they gave it away, it was started off as dimes, and then it went into dollars. And then when the foundation was started, now it's a million here and a million there and a million someplace else. So it just the amount changed, and the decisions about where the money's going to go changed. But the idea that they have to give their wealth away started when they were six. So the same thing with kids. If all of a sudden they get an offer for $4 million, they're gonna have to have somebody who they can trust. Now, trust is the important thing, because there's all kinds of
right. Trust and competency.
Trust and competence. Yeah. Who's the see the USA in your Chevrolet? Doris Day. Doris Day.
Or Dinah Shore.
Yeah, well, that gives me what I want. Doris Day made lots and lots of money, and she got screwed. Her managers just bled her dry. And after there was no retirement for her, she had to come back into business and make some money for live, for to make a living.
Substance, yeah.
Yeah. But she didn't have managers she could trust or people could cross-check with her. So remember Reagan, trust but verify. So if you have an accountant, you have to be able to cross-check your accountant's work somewhere, somehow.
Words to survive by.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Thanks for coming by.
It's a pleasure.
It would be Happy New Year, huh?
Yeah.
2019.
There it is.
Yeah.
Looming.
Yeah.
Looming in front of
dangerously close. See you everybody tomorrow.